Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the RHI Magnesita India Limited's Q3 and 9-month FY24 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as of the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantee of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Pramod Sagar, Managing Director and CEO, RHI Magnesita India Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to our quarterly earnings call for the third quarter of financial year 2024. Your company has navigated through the dynamic market conditions successfully during this quarter. Our year-on-year growth continues as the overall market grows across segments, and the benefits or rather acquisitions reflect in our performance. Recent updates and consolidation of M&A activities. Synergies from all our recent acquisitions continue to reflect in our operations, as production and shipments grew year-on-year on the back of contribution from acquired assets. On a quarter-on-quarter basis, we undertook a strategic cut in production, mainly due to deliberate tightening of our customer credit risk criteria. This led to a sequential dip in top line this quarter. Despite this, production in our Jamshedpur plant grew, mainly driven by functional products. This plant's proximity to key steel plants should help benefit logistics for products. On blended EBITDA, margins were adversely impacted due to investment in increasing skilled workforce and higher year-to-date bonus provisions. This together offset the benefit from lower material costs. We continue to take initiatives to improve our operational efficiencies. As part of this, we recently announced plans to close down our Bhilai plant, which is under RHI Magnesita India Refractory Limited. This plant comprises hardly of 0.07% of our consolidated revenue. Its net worth is barely 0.04% of our consolidated revenue. This plant is much smaller than the other plant under RHIMIRL and produce only one product, which can be made at a larger scale at our Rajgangpur unit more effectively. Therefore, this move will help bring cost efficiencies, economies of scale, and overall consolidation. Moreover, we also announced plans to amalgamate RHIM 7 Refractory Limited into RHIM IRL. This move is aimed to consolidate the refractory business acquired from Dalmia Bharat Group at one place and effectively manage them under one entity. We expect this to enhance value, expand network, provide a competitive edge, reduce costs, and streamline the corporate structure. About production and capacity utilization, during this quarter, we strategically reduced our overall production to 78,000 tons from 90,000 tons in Q2 24. It is mainly attributed to inventory reduction by 14,000 tons, of which strike at Rajgangpur for almost 9 days impacted of 2,300 tons. Our overall capacity utilization shifted from 67% in quarter 2 to 58% in quarter 3 of Q24. RHIM, RHIMIR, and JSP Jodhpur has utilization rates of 70%, 52% and 58% respectively this quarter, compared to 88%, 59% and 48% in Q2. Going into the last quarter, we are optimistic based on our ability to cater to the market demand while optimizing the cost. About macro view of strategy, as mentioned in the past, one of our key focus area is increasing our share in industrial and iron making and value-added products through product diversification and bringing synergies from our acquisitions. We are actively making initiative to consolidate all our operations and improve internal efficiencies. RHI Magnesita aims to leverage its expertise, capacities, and market position to capitalize on market opportunities. We are strategically combining our inorganic initiatives to complement organic growth strategies to cater to the rising demand. Benefits of the recent acquisitions are reflecting in the form of higher production and shipments as well as more diverse product portfolio. These moves position the company to cater to a wider range of end applications. Now, I would like to hand it over to Ms. Vidya Gupta, our CFO, to take us through the financial performance highlights. Yes, Vidya.
Yeah, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you, sir. In the third quarter of this fiscal, when we compare on YOY basis, our consolidated results reflect a 43% revenue growth, which is driven by substantial 58% increase in shipments. This is primarily reflects the benefits from our recently acquired assets. However, our EBITDA margin experienced a 2.2% decrease to 12.8%, mainly due to 4.6% rise in employee-related expenses and 3.1% increase in other expenses attributed to increase in shared services setup costs, legal and professional fees and travel. On a positive note, there was a 6.1% decrease in material costs, which partially offsets these impacts. Now, comparing on a quarter-to-quarter basis with the previous quarter, our revenue declined 6%. As mentioned earlier, this was because we strategically shipped 5% less due to deliberate tightening of customer credit risk criteria, and average realization also was 1% lower due to lower input costs. Our EBITDA margin decreased to 12.8% due to lower revenue. This was due to investment also in our workforce, led to higher employee costs, influenced by YTD bonus provisions and lower absorption of fixed costs. Moreover, we are continuously making initiatives to improve operational efficiencies. With respect to debt, we were able to maintain our debt levels at rupees 461 crore as of December 23. It comprises mainly of external commercial borrowings of 33 million euros and rest is all working capital debt. We had optimally utilized cash. Our commitment to sound financial management is evident in the optimal utilization of our cash reserves towards working capital and capital expenditures. As of December 23, our cash position stood at 43.1 crores. The strategic approach ensures that our financial resources are efficiently deployed, fostering stability and positioning us for a sustainable growth. We have been able to maintain our cash conversion cycle at 95 days, 1 day improvement versus 96 days in the previous quarter. This improvement is attributed to reduction in inventory cycle and shorter payable cycle, collectively impacting the overall working capital cycle. That is all from our side. We can now open the floor for questions.
much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask questions, please press star and one. The first question is from the line of Jonas Buddha from Birla Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Couple of questions. Firstly, if you know you can quantify the sort of impact across multiple P&L line items. Firstly, you know, on the volume front and the corresponding impact of that on revenue. So what we see is there is a negative delta of roughly 52 crores on the volume front in the bridge that you've given. On page 5 of the presentation, is that the entire impact of the curtailment of volumes to one of the clients, or there is more? Firstly, secondly, you know, if you can quantify the impact of one-off, if any, in the employee cost, which seems to have jumped, and on the interest cost again because of the forex fluctuation. So these three. If you can just call those out in terms of numbers. That's my first question.
Okay. Yeah, thanks for the question. As far as volume is concerned, this was mainly shipments were impacted due to implement of credit block, our global processes, and this was mainly to 2 to 3 main customers. But they all are highly profitable and cash rich customers, so there is nothing to worry about their credit worthiness. And we are not seeing the impact in the current quarter. That is what I want to say. But this was required to bring in discipline and improve our working capital and our cash flows. That is one. This led to this drop in shipments. Then on employee cost, actually, it has gone up.
The quantification is what? 52 crores. Had the sales happened, we would have been closer to 975 odd crores.
That's right. Yeah.
So volumes would still would have been flat sequentially then. There would be no growth in volumes had this credit block not happened. Is that understanding correct?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
And as regards employee cost, 1% of revenue is because of higher YTD provisions we had made because we had met global bonus criteria. So that led us to provisioning for the full year in this quarter. So this 1% impact will not be there in the next quarter. And higher interest cost is because of revaluation of the debt, the external commercial borrowings that we had, 33 million. Because the closing rate of euro to rupee had appreciated to 92. On Friday, there was a 22% depreciation. But now rupee has come back to normal 90 levels. So we will see this benefit in the next quarter.
How much was the impact, ma'am? 16 crores, as in, would it be around 8-9 crores of delta?
Yeah, the delta is...
It's about 8.5 crores of interest cost in Q2.
Yeah, that's right.
Got it. Then my second question, sorry, promoter, my second question was on DOCL. If we just track the 9 months performance in terms of sales, we've done about 750, 760 odd crores worth of revenue, and we are in line to do roughly 1,000 crores of revenue this year. You know, this is more or less sort of flattish in that sense on a YOY basis, despite having some improvement in capacity utilization, at least in the first two quarters of the year. You know, what explains this sort of flattish top line? You know, is there a higher than expected price impact in this, in DOCL? And, you know, how should one think of FY25 volumes and revenue in just that subsidiary?
So, again, there's a combination of the two, three factors. One is we have about 9 days strike in Rajgangpur, and it was, you know, unreasonable. So, we stood firm that we will not bust, and you have to come inside unconditionally. So, it dragged up to 9 days, and then they agreed to whatever we said. So, that was a good sign. But we lost some production and subsequently some revenue as well. Apart from this, not only this quarter but last quarter also from DOCL, in 2-3 plants where the payments were not coming as per commitment of the customer, so we squeezed the supplies to have a, you know, right balance of working capital. This has impacted a lot, and third one is that is, you know, the business of DOCL and RHIM in sale plant, we were having two orders, and now with the combined entity, we are remain one company. So in sale plant, you know, it's the policy of Steel Authority of India to have 2 or 3 vendors for every order. So earlier they put together L1 in RHM and Sita and DOCL is I2. So we run away with 40% RHIM and 30% or 25% L2. But now with the single entity, I can get maximum 40%. So there is a business loss in Steel Authority of India also, which we are now mitigating to add products which we were not supplied to Steel Authority of India during this year. And I think in FY25, we should be able to recover that losses.
Got it. And quickly, the last one, sir, you know, if you can remind us the capacity, installed capacity at RHIM standalone, high-tech and DOCL individually, and if you can repeat the capacity utilization at these three entity levels, and that's my last question.
Actually, RHIM is 180,000, 179,180,000, and Dalmia is about 300, and high-tech is about 36,000-37,000. It was 62,000 predicted earlier, but we stopped some products in Jamshedpur just to see the economy of scale of economies. But put together everything, the capacity is about 537,000 or so.
And the capacity realization, at, if you can repeat at these three entity levels separately.
Yeah, I said earlier also. The capacity utilization in RHIM plant is about 70% last quarter, and DOCL 52%, the share for 58%. Earlier it was 88, 59, and 48. So the share for capacity utilization has gone up by 10%, whereas in DOCL about 10% less, and also in RHIM plant. So it was, you know, a deliberate decision to reduce our inventories.
But do you believe this was the last bit of it, as in not there is some more inventory destocking or, you know, management still left in the system that will come in Q4 or Q1 of next year?
I don't think this last quarter we will not have that issue. Probably generally, yes, we still are in the process of controlling, and per March we will be back to normal process. But I can only say one thing, we still have a pressure of, you know, overdue payments from some customers, and we will be quite strict with our supply, and it will be linked with payments, irrespective of problem.
Understood. Thank you. I have more questions. I'll come back in the queue. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Rajesh Majumdar from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir, ma'am. So, I had a few questions. First one, I think, was on the top line. So you mentioned the fact that one alarming thing actually, that because of the merger, now we are one company, we'll not have two entities to bid for projects. Does that actually mean going forward, we'll not be able to gain market share because whatever, say the steel production growth is 6-7%, we'll be able to grow only at that rate, or we'll not be able to outperform the growth rate of the steel market because of this reason? Is that a concern?
No, Rajeshji, I said only steel property of India. Same is having tender system. There were three even companies participating, Hitech, Dalmia, and RSA Magnifica. And now we are combined entity. And at the same time, if we become L1 every year, we will get maximum 60% share, right? And if three companies are L1 to L3, we were 100%. So this part, sale part, is not a Vidya part. Yes, we have an impact, and it was made. So that's what I said. We are trying to mitigate the product which we were not selling in Steel Authority of India, or only one party was selling. For example, I gave you an example of, Jamshedpur plant or Hitech plant. He was the only supplier for the lateral opening compound. So now we are going all out to increase share of that product. So there are similar 3-4 more products where only one party was there. It will not have impact. We will be increasing the share. But where 3 parties are bidding for one product, there will be impact. So we are trying to mitigate. But overall revenue out of say 3,800 crore for this year, there will be maybe 12-13% total revenue in sales now. So out of the 12-13%, there will be some impact. Not overall impact.
Okay, thanks. And sir, I wanted to also ask that for Tata Steel, there is a Kalinganagar expansion and NINL expansion going on. Are we in a position to, increase our market share there or get... Are we getting a significant part of this expansion project other than JSW expansion, which I am aware of?
Yes, you are right.
Okay, so we can get some traction from that, is what you're saying.
Absolutely.
Okay. So, and on this 5% less shipments, I couldn't get the Vijay ma'am correctly. Is that number going to reverse this quarter or what? Because we're already in the middle of this quarter. That 5% lower shipment which happened because of credit conditions, is it going to reverse this quarter or is it going to be not there at all?
It is totally linked with the payment behavior of these customers. If the payments will come, it will not be a revenue loss, we will definitely ship out everything.
And so, this YTD bonus provision, in which quarter was it there last year? At a similar time, was it there in the same quarter, was it there in the fourth quarter, this bonus provision, and was it of a similar magnitude or much lesser?
You know, it varies year on year basis. There are global KPIs which is simply applicable for our region, for India as well. So if we achieve those KPIs, we achieve 100% of the provisions. So we, in the beginning, we are considering that we are going to achieve 100% of the whatever is the bonus percentage, right? So if we underachieve, we have a surplus money. The provision is more, we are going to pay out to the employees less because we have not performed well or we have not achieved all the KPIs. If we overachieve, so then there is a bonus more than 100%. So this year we are going to get more than 100% bonus for the employee. That's why this impact. Otherwise we have distributed in 12 months based on 100%.
That's right.
So what is the steady state annual employee cost, ma'am, if I could add a figure? Like it was 120 crore before the merger, 204 crore tha as of FY23. What is the annual steady state employee cost one should assume?
So it is around, say, 9% of revenues.
9% of revenues is 350 crores approximately.
Yeah.
So, okay. So employee cost will be annualized about 350 crores now. Is that a right figure?
That's right.
Thank you. We move to the next question. The next question is from Lakshmi Narayan from Tunga Investments. Please go ahead.
A couple of questions. First, if I look at the top five integrated steel producers in India, what's the kind of sales you get from them, which include JSW, Singer, Steel, ArcelorMittal, and Tata Steel?
Can you repeat your question? It's not
so my question is number one. What percentage of your sales comes from the top five steel companies in India?
Okay. Yeah, from the top major customers, it's 65 to 70% of the sales.
Five or six major customers.
Got it. Got it. And in that, if you just demarcate between flow control and non-flow control, which is one is either sold per ton basis, one is not sold by, you know, by heat basis, right? So what does that mix to these top
5%? Roughly, it is in line with previous quarters. 25% of revenue came from flow control and on a consolidated basis.
So I'm just talking about the these top 5 players, which is account for 65-70% of the revenue. What is the mix of flow control and non-flow control?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. 25% is flow control, rest is non-flow control.
Sorry. Because I thought that you mentioned for the entire company, but I was just asking for the sliver of top client.
So more or less the proportionality is the same.
Same.
For a bigger customer, 5G customer and the overall also. So it is approximately 25-26% flow control.
Got it. You mentioned that there has been some issues in terms of labor. Can you just elaborate which plant was this and which customers we couldn't serve because of that, like which was the nearest one?
This was a erstwhile DOCL plant in Rajgangpur.
Mm-hmm.
And the customer impacted, I think out of the five customers that we are talking about, maybe three customers were from that, bigger customers.
Got it. So the next question is that what has been the exports for us on a consolidated basis? What is it now and what is the plan for the next three years or so?
As of now, it is about 9.5% of consolidated basis, and the standalone is around 11.5%. We earlier said that we want to increase our export, but unfortunately because of this geographical political situation outside India, we are not able to push as hard as we could like to. You know, Ukraine and Russia war and all these sanctions and all. So the impact is heavy. So we are almost at the same level which we were last quarter.
Yeah.
And for the products which you are making for export market, what proportion of that is for the RHI network is solely manufactured in India, that you are the sole or perhaps the dominant export hub?
As of now, I would say no. We are not export hub. We are supplying to many customers, 100% also. But still, you know, we have a various locations, various plants of flow control. So they are contributing throughout the globe. So I would not say we are still a export hub. We want to be, that it will take time. But in our region, larger region like West Asia, we have as well as contract, full line contract, management contract, where all these local products are going from India.
Sorry. So, the industry is consolidated on your customer side when the top five are actually leading the steel production or steel capacity expansion in India. On the other side, there is also consolidation of players in terms of RSI and the other two or three competitors. Now, how this equilibrium has changed in terms of pricing for the industry from a refractory point of view, whether your things have become more competitive or it has become more rational when compared to what it was like 3 years earlier?
I would say since India is the only growth market, so everybody wants to come to India or increase their production capacity in India. And I would not hesitate to say that if the way people are expanding, if everybody keep on expanding, we will have our capacity very soon. And then it will put a lot of pressure on everybody's margins. We as industry should be very cautious when we are adding capacity.
Yeah, I mean, because what I see is that for you, the margin is going down. Either it is because of internal reasons like employee cost, or is it also because of the fact that the other competitor is also putting the price down? Is it trying to understand whether the competition is a good competition or a bad competition to have now?
I would not say the competition is good. I would say yes. Everybody is under pressure to deliver. But I don't agree with you that our margins are going down continuously. It is the aggression only this quarter. But we stated earlier, we still believe we can deliver 14-15% on a consolidated basis.
14-15% EBITDA?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. I'll come back to you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from Riddhi Panchal from Chanakya Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Can you hear me? Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, we can hear you. I have only two questions. So how team company selects refractory players and what are RSI competitors' strengths over them over the other? And the second question is, what is the capex per ton of RHI?
What is second question?
Capex per ton for RHI.
Capex cost?
Yes, capex per ton.
Capex. Okay, so what we have incurred capex so far, so our capex this year so far we have done 50 crores and of which this quarter is 20 crores.
And about criteria of selecting, whenever a new steel plant comes up, we are at advantage if a steel extension goes on, because for all converters, for electric arc furnace, for RHD caster, for ladles, they prefer us over anybody else. So they will commission the plant with RHD Magnesita products. When it comes to flow control, it is, divided between us and Vesuvius and sometimes a little bit of ISBL. But it comes to lining, converter, furnaces, ladders, RHD casters, we are the preferred suppliers.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Chetan Doshi, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. I have a couple of questions. The employee cost on standalone basis has gone up from 39 crores to 64 crores. Now, that is almost 50% of the earlier quarter what we were paying. That bonus of 1% will not increase this much. And second question is, raw material, how much raw material we are buying from our principals? I hope it is at arm's length, but what is the amount what we spend from our principals? And these traded goods, are these traded goods also bought from our principals?
You know, I will touch base this raw material part. So we are not buying any raw material from our parent company, though we have backward integration. But it is again a matter of, you know, economies. If we buy from, say, for example, China, X product at 100 rupees, and if we bring it from Europe or from Brazil, it is 105 rupees. So I prefer to buy from market if it is cheaper than our own company. So we are not buying any raw material from our parent company as of now. But if given a situation, if something goes wrong with the geography, China, etc., we have a backward integration. We can bring material. And we are the only company who can bring material from Europe, Americas, and keep on catering to our customers. When we talk about trading products, yes, there are some products which is coming from parent company, which we are not producing as of now in India. We are trying to shift many products from Europe or America or from China to India. But still, there are many products which are coming from parent company to India.
Okay.
Regarding just coming to the employee benefit.
Yeah. I'll take this question.
Please.
See, coming to employee cost, it is due size gone up from 40 crore on standalone basis to 65 crores. This is because Hi-Tech has got merged in standalone, and the number of employees, we have around 500 people from Hi-Tech. So the number of employees is 1.5 times that from the previous year. That is one reason why the employee cost has gone up, plus the bonus provision which I have said. So these two together has led to increase.
How much bonus provision is there on specific? Because next quarter you said it will not come in the balance sheet. So what is the amount?
It's on 5 crores.
5 crores. Okay.
On standalone, yeah.
And one last suggestion. See, in the presentation,
yeah,
no mention as to what benefits we have derived after taking over Hi-Tech and Dalmia. See, basically, when we see the margins going down on quarter-on-quarter basis, whether it was a wise decision to take over these two companies or not, because see, going through the presentation, we don't come across anything as to what benefit we have derived. And when you intend to improve the bottom line, if this same thing prevails?
You know, we have mentioned on slide number 8, strategic progress, above, it is not clearly mentioned in numbers how many crores we save here and there. But we have outlined what we are doing. Maybe next time we will come up with some more granular information.
Yeah, yeah, because see, that is, as a lay person, how, as a shareholder, how do we know what benefit we are deriving after these two big takeovers which has taken place? We understand that some time is required to, you know, when anything is merged into the main principal company and to get 100% output from the new entity, it takes time, definitely. But when, see, we are interested in, ultimately, say, from second quarter, third quarter, we need to know when this fruits will be, you know, on the balance sheet.
Perfect, sir. We will come up with this granular information in coming days.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Vipul Shah from RW Equity.
Thank you for this opportunity.
You're welcome.
Hello.
Yeah, please go ahead.
Yeah, so couple of questions, you know, to Ms. Gupta. This ECBs which, you know, we are, which are there on our books, the understanding was that, you know, they are on a fully hedged basis. So, you know, this quarter-on-quarter fluctuations because of the Ind AS standards, this should even out over the duration of the ECBs. Am I correct? Or are these ECBs open?
That's absolutely correct. Your assumption is correct. It is fully hedged. Because the hedge rate which we had taken, there was a 1 rupee gap between the hedge rate and the SFP closing rate, which we get from the group, the closing rate. So the rupee had depreciated 22% in this.
Oh, so that's fine, as long as it's
hedged. The 7.6 crore, what is here in December quarter, we get the benefit in the next quarter.
That is, you know, irrespective of the rate, I'm saying the benefit will come over the duration of the ECB. Am I right?
That's right.
Question was on this, on the last call also, I had made a suggestion, you know, on this capital structuring.
Yes.
One could look at a scheme of arrangement to offset the goodwill on the books with the reserves, with share premium, etc., which we have. I think last time you mentioned, the management will consider that to make, our ROCs much more efficient. Just wanted to understand, is there any update on this or is there any thought process which has gone through?
Yeah, we take your suggestions very seriously, sir. So we have taken a legal opinion also because the legal opinion says that reduction in securities premium by adjustment of goodwill will lead to reduction in capital. And this is not allowed for a solvent organization. So we cannot go ahead with that proposal.
So basically, the balance sheet will actually remain a little elevated, till the time we find a way out of this.
That's right. Because we cannot reduce
our capital. Fair enough. One more question, which I had, for Mr. Sagar was that, sir, you mentioned that in the initial remarks that, the credit tightening measures which were undertaken on the customer side, that led to reduction of volume. We also mentioned that essentially these are credit worthy customers and there is no issue as far as this, receipt of any pending dues is concerned. So my question is, sir, this volume loss which has happened, and you alluded that they it may not be reversed, if the credit cycle doesn't, if the customers don't come in as per your credit cycle. So has it led to gains for our competitors? Has the volume shifted there or how does it work, sir?
So I don't think the volume has shifted because so far they cannot do it. The product which we were supplying to them, we have annual order. So they have depleted their inventory in a way, I would say. If they were running at 3 months inventory, now maybe they are running at 1 month inventory or 1.5 months inventory. So at the same time, we don't want to stop any customer their production. But, it is a two-way traffic. If customer is expecting us to deliver quality product on-time delivery, we also expect the money should come. Otherwise, this top line, bottom line is just a number. If I show 50% of it and everything is, in my inventory and overdue payments, then economic profit is zero.
No, fully agree, sir. Fully understand, ultimately the cash generation has to be there. So
yes.
The takeaway, sir, is that since you alluded that the customers are sort of, using up their inventory, as and when, they return to our credit cycle and their old levels of inventory, there could be a bump up in the coming quarters.
Yes, it is possible. It is possible if they pay us as company, we will supply.
All right. So thank you so much, sir. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. The next question. question is from the line of Harsh from Marcellus. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, sir. So for the quarter, I understand that the top line was impacted because we tightening our credit norms. However, even if you remove that, the quarter-on-quarter sales growth or volume growth is sort of flat from what Vijay Ma'am said. However, our customers like JSW and Tata Steel, they have reported like 5-6% quarter-on-quarter production growth at their plants. So I'm not able to reconcile that. Why did we also not see such sort of a growth rate number, sir?
One is, you know, if you add these credit blocks, then we are at the same level or a little 1% more than that, about 4-5%. But if you take out only Jindal's and Tata's, which is about 40 million tons of steel out of 130 million tons, so it is 5% of their growth is actually 1.5% growth in the overall scenario, right? So there's some striking decision. You need to take some time. You're looking at the pricing, you're looking at the credits and all those things. But I can reiterate that we will be growing at least with the market, if not more than. Internally, we believe we can grow better than market. Because all these new plants, as I said in my earlier comments, they will go with us for all critical items.
Have you lost some share of business with Tata or JSW? Have you lost any share of business with Tata or JSW as well?
No. No, we have not lost any business. We are their preferred partner.
And could you repeat the calculation for sale? I mean, how much of the quantum has been lost because of the merger?
You know, it is very complex calculation. I cannot explain to you in 1 or 2 minutes. What I am trying to say is, say if our market share overall, whatever is our revenue, if it is 30-40% in sale plants, so out of that, some products which Hi-Tech was also producing, Dalmia was also producing, we were also producing. Those products, these are combined together, we will get only one, not three companies in order. But there are many products which only Hi-Tech was producing, not Dalmia or RSA Magnesita. I gave the example like nozzle filling compound or cap or clay, etc. So there are many products which only single party was producing. That will not have any impact. So we are trying to increase our market share by bringing other products which we were not selling to sale.
Yeah, but what is the net impact of this?
Out of say 13%, if I say is our total market share in sale plant, then that will be about say 3-4% minimum.
Okay, so our share of business would go down from 13% to 10%. Is that understanding correct?
Yeah, but it will be temporary. It is temporary. And we are trying to mitigate these risks by introducing new products.
And this happened recently, like in the last quarter, or it has been the case on basis?
From the acquisition, there was some order in place already. So when these orders were in place, we were enjoying all three companies' orders. And when new cycle comes in June, July, then the impact starts coming.
Okay. And we don't see this happening at other steel plants because why, sir? Why can't JSW and Tata Steel also have the same term?
What? Sorry, can you come again?
So, sir, do you reckon that something similar will happen at our other customers as well, that JSW, Tata Steel and the other ones will say that since we are procuring from one entity, they'll reduce their purchases from RSI and maybe diversify their vendor base?
In 1 or 2 cases, yes. If there are only the product and only 2 companies, for example, RSI Magnesita and Dalmia were suppliers, so definitely now they are left with one company. So they will try to develop some alternate source. That is a natural phenomenon.
So, according to you, how much do you reckon that we'll be impacted more by this? Can you just give some numbers there?
I don't have a number. It is very minimal, in percentage.
Okay, got it. And, sir, regarding this strike and the overall integration with Dalmia, could you throw some remarks? Where are we in that space? Where are we in that space? Is integration already happened? And why did we see a strike happening at Rajinpur?
Integration is still ongoing, though it's almost a year. It is a cultural thing, the management style. We are thoroughly professional company, multinational company, those who are, family-driven company, whether it's a Dalmia or Hi-Tech. So their way of working was different, our way of working is different. So bringing the cultural change takes time, Secondly, strike, there is a union from last 30 years, a strong union. So they were handling it differently. If union has come up with something, they stop the production. They will say, okay, come, let's discuss and resolve. So we don't want to do that. We said, there's a way to discuss without stopping production. And we will not accept this.
Okay, but
we have a good relation with them now.
Okay, and have we seen any loss of share of business because of this strike? The three customers that we missed out the supplies to, have they approached other suppliers? Any thoughts there?
As I said, if the plant is closed for 8-10 days, yes, there will be your shipment impacted or revenue impacted temporarily. But the customer cannot reach out to any other supplier. And the other supplier cannot also supply the material. They need to make a mold, they need to produce, they need to ship. It is a cycle of maybe 45 days. But they need to float an inquiry, then there's, offer, then there's negotiation, then order. Any big plant will take maybe a month's time to even place the order on other suppliers. So this is the other side of the impact.
So, got it. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Next question is from Sahil Sangli from Monarch Network Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening. Am I audible?
Yes, Sahil ji.
Yes, sir. Sir, my first question is regarding the Red Sea issue. Since we are sourcing a lot of raw material from outside, is that a really concerning factor, the freight cost going up, the container availability being affected? Lead time increasing, and can we really would that really impact our RM cost and margins going ahead?
You are talking about this Red Sea issue?
Yes.
The freight is going up, and the timing, because the rerouting, so it is an impact of almost 2 weeks, and freight is almost. Sometimes double, sometimes even triple. So that will have that impact, and in coming days we will also be reaching out to our customers to tell them the fact. And some of the customers are also worried about how they will get the inventory in time, material in time. So we are working on it. We are, very committed market leader. So it will not allow any plant to stop because of this issue. We are taking various steps at a global level also.
In fact, sir, I have heard that some of these annual contracts get also revised in January, and some of these steel plants have been asking for price cuts up to the magnitude of 5-7%. Are we seeing a similar pressure on price cuts and would that come in from Q4?
There is a pressure on price cut, but now with this Red Sea situation, even the container availability will be an issue in coming days, because when you are rerouting 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, delay, the container availability will be an issue, whether it's in Europe or in India or in China, and there will be congestion at ports and all. So I think now the first strategy of the cement plant will be to have the factory instead of talking about pricing and reduction. So we are under pressure, but they will also be under pressure because the material will not be coming as smoothly as it was coming.
I understand. Thanks, and that's
all. Our material suppliers are asking for a even pricing field because the freight has gone up.
I understand. Thank you, sir. Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we'd like to request participants to please limit your questions to one or two questions per participant in the interest of time. The next question is from the line of Mayank Bhandari from Asian Market Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is, in the standalone, excluding high-tech, what is your YOY growth, if you can tell for this quarter and for the 9 months?
See, in case of standalone, we have integrated SAP systems, so we do not have numbers for high-tech separately. So the standalone numbers have to be with high-tech only.
So standalone, okay. So, I mean, how much would be your export from standalone then?
Export from standalone is 11%.
And this has declined YOY, how much?
Yeah, last year was say around 16%. So it has come down, as sir had mentioned, that freight, Red Sea issues and sluggishness in overseas market is the reason for lower exports.
Okay, and ma'am, in terms of export capability, how much we have ramped up? So now, I mean, are we doing export for flow control products also now? What is our status for export?
Normally, we are doing export of only flow control products.
Okay, so within flow control, how many products?
How many products means?
Isostatic is what you had highlighted.
Yeah, mainly it is isostatic and slide gates.
Okay, so because I think you are in the process of improving the export for 3 or 4 more products in near future.
Mainly this is flow control, and from Vizag plant, there's a high alumina special refractories for export.
Okay. And lastly, sir, in terms of high-tech capacity utilization, this year it is, you said 58%, right?
Right.
So, I mean, any expectation for this year, next year?
You know, we are working seriously on creating Jamshedpur plant, a real isostatic export hub. But you know, in exports it takes time, a lot of time. You know, doing trials and you know, becoming an approved vendor, it takes sometime 1.5 years. So I believe in this year we will be doing better than the previous year, and 25, 26 onwards we will have substantial export business from the Jamshedpur plant.
We are hearing that in the export market, the situation is bottomed out now. So is it related to some demand slowdown in the export market, or how long can you expect that?
Yeah, actually, in general, there is a depressed market, particularly talk about Europe or, you know, because of this Ukraine-Russia war, and in general, Europe is not performing well. They have their own issues, and I don't see in next 3-4 months anything is going to change.
Thank you very much. In the interest of time, we'll have to take that as the last question. I would now like to hand the conference back to the management team for closing comments.
Thank you, everyone, for taking time out to join us today. We look forward to interacting with you again next quarter And whatever suggestion you people have given, we will consider that to add to our PPT next time. Please get in touch with our investor relations team for any further queries. We will be more than happy to answer your questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. On behalf of RHI Magna Sita India Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect your line.